Well, you know, it's Father's Day, and, you know, growing up as a dad and as a son, my father speaking to me, there are certain things that you'd always hear your dad say. You know, if I have to stop this car, right, or don't make me come back there, you do that one more time. Or sometimes dad didn't have to say a thing. He would simply go, yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about there. That's a foreign thing in today's world, but some of you older folks know what I'm talking about. Well, I want you to watch something today, a little quick video, just a few minutes long. But I want you, this talks about things that dads would never say. All right? Watch this.
I don't care how late you stay out. Stay out as late as you want.
You want to borrow the new car? You want to borrow my credit card?
Kids today, they really have it rough.
I have no idea where we are or where we're going.
I mean, when I was their age, life was easy. Super easy.
Why haven't you gotten a tattoo yet? How come you don't have any piercings yet?
Yep, we're lost. We are completely lost.
Ooh, sports.
Just do whatever the mechanic says to do.
Vehicle maintenance is completely overrated.
Look, whatever the mechanic is asking, just pay him. Pay him whatever he wants.
I wish they had soap operas at night.
I like that boy. You should date him. You should date him immediately.
Well, what about the creepy guy with the motorcycle? He's cute.
Yeah, sure. Spring break in Tahiti sounds fun. Hey, make sure you get all your video games done before you start your homework.
You don't have to pass all your classes.
What? You have a project due tomorrow, and you've known about it for 4 weeks, and you haven't started yet? Sweet!
Doesn't anybody want to know if we're there yet?
Remember, if you need anything between midnight and 4 a.m., please come wake me up.
Hey, I'm on the phone. Could you bring the baby over and let him climb all over me?
Hey! Hey, can you please turn that music up?
Well, we just stopped for lunch 10 minutes ago, but yeah, let's stop again. I never have trouble with my toddler.
I never have trouble with my teenagers.
I never have trouble with my adult children.
You know, she's right. We are ruining her life.
Yes, more homework to correct.
All right, whining.
Yay, tantrums.
Vomit.
We just really need to spoil these kids more.
Sorry, buddy. I don't know any good jokes at all.
You're 16. You pretty much know everything now.
I think 18's a great age to get married.
Okay, remember, make sure you turn on all the lights before you leave the house.
Hey, could you leave the front door open for a couple hours? Thanks.
Whoa! Money really does grow on trees.
Oh, we know that's not true, don't we, dads? Oh boy, that's for sure. All right, great. Take your Bible, Joshua 24. Yeah, thank you, dads. Praise the Lord for my father and the impact he had on my life. And he's at home in heaven now. He's having a great old time. Joshua 24. Now, I want to talk today specifically, obviously, to our dads. It's Father's Day. When we had Mother's Day, I spoke directly to our moms. But just like Scripture is like it's, whenever you speak of a passage, you can speak directly to one particular group of people, but nonetheless, it applies to all of us in certain ways. And even when we here today, we're going to talk to dads, and the title of our message is A Dad's Role, Lead. Just lead. And lead from obviously a godly perspective, but this would apply to all of us, you know. This would apply to our wives as well, as wives and moms, as you need to support your husbands and dads. That are part of your family, and you need to pray for them and support them in the things that they ought to be doing for the Lord. You're there to remind them and to pray for them and to help them. Maybe you're a single mom or a single dad. You're a single parent, and unfortunately, you're having to wear both hats, mom and dad. And I understand that, and this is going to help you in as far as fulfilling that role that God has you in right now. So it's for all of us. It's for you young people, for you children, for you teenagers. It's for you too, because you need to know what it ought to be like when you grow up and you get married, you have a family. By the way, that's the order it should be in, amen? Grow up, get married, then have a family. that you ought to know how to be that proper parent, that especially if you end up being a father. Some of you here are married. You're not a mom and dad yet, but you probably will be someday. And just some instruction about what God says here in his word from the book of Joshua. Maybe you're a grandparent, and as a grandparent, you live that godly life in front of your kids, and now you have grandchildren. And obviously, you continue to live that life in front of them as well. But or maybe as a grandparent, maybe as a parent, when you you had your children, maybe you didn't live that life that God would have you to live. But now that you're a grandparent, you're seeing the importance of it. Well, then start now with the grandchildren, and you model that for your own child as you're modeling it to your grandchildren as well. So either way, this is going to apply to all of us this morning. What's the role of dad in the home and in the family? I can basically look at it two ways: love and lead. Love and lead. Love your family and lead your family. In the passage we're going to look at here, Joshua has taken the people of God into the promised land. And this is the very last chapter here in the book of Joshua. And so we're at the end of Joshua's life. He's had victory after victory after victory, but he's also learned some very hard lessons from defeat. The city of Ai, we remember how they lost tremendously there. They've crossed over Jordan. They've established memorials. They've conquered the Amorites. They've conquered Jericho. They've conquered many kings, which you see a list of those back in chapter number 12. They've divided the land among the tribes. They've set up a house of worship, the tabernacle. And now he's given his final messages to his people as he is old and he's near death. And he reviews Israel's history and reminds the people of everything that God has done. And God's done some great things throughout the book of Joshua. And we pick that up here in Joshua chapter 24. And I want us to start reading at verse number 14. So if you would with me, please stand one more time out of respect to God's word. Let's read this, and I hope that you'll follow along in the story here. Understand the storyline. Understand what's happening. He's just not giving a final charge. He's actually calling them out on some things. Check it out. Joshua chapter 24, beginning at verse number 14. Now this is Joshua speaking. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now what does that tell you right away about the gods of Egypt? They still had them. They're still serving them. Verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll come back to that verse. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people from whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 19, but Joshua. Everybody say, uh-oh. Yeah, but Joshua. Look what he says. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Man, those are pretty harsh words. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they say, we are witnesses. Thou therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. There are two sins there, idolatry and they're far away from the Lord. Verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Thank you. You may be seated. Lord, we ask you to bless this word now as we look into it. As much as the people wanted to serve God, as much as they were happy about what was taking place as far as them being out of Egypt, Joshua calls them out on their sin. He calls them out on their idolatry in verses 14 through 16, verse 20, and verse number 23. And their heart was far away from the Lord. They thought they were doing great. They were out of Egypt. They were in the promised land. But Joshua said, no, you're not so great. He called them out on their sin. And I submit to you that many in the church today are in that exact condition. We think sometimes, well, we're all right and we're okay, when in reality, we got issues. And all the people of God said what to that? Amen. We got issues. We got issues with sin. We got issues with griping. We got issues with jealousy. We got issues with covetousness. We got issues with complaining. We got issues with gossip. We got issues, and you can just go down the list. We got issues. So it would do us well to understand that we might not be exactly where we think we are when it comes to where we are in our spiritual walk with God. The people of God weren't, and Joshua was calling them out on it. Verse number 14, Joshua makes a decision and an announcement. He makes a decision for himself and then for his family. Then he made it public. He says in verse number 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's saying, I'm making a decision right now. Even though I'm near death, and he was near death, he was about to die, 110 years old, and he's saying, we are going to serve God. This household will serve God. I made this decision in my heart. I'm making this announcement to my family. And oh, by the way, at this particular time, he's talking to the nation of Israel. He's making it public. He's going all out with it. He's all in with this decision. As a father, he was the father of many nations in a sense, in that he led all these tribes across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. And as a man and as a father, he made that proclamation. I submit to you that if men today made that proclamation and stuck to it, it would transform our families. And not only would it transform our families, it would transform our churches. And not only would it transform our churches, it would transform this nation. Would anyone agree with me on that? Yeah. As goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. Joshua makes a point here that a dad's role is to lead. God depends on men to lead their homes. God depends on men to lead their churches. God desires men to lead their homes and their churches. And today I want to share with you three actions that you can take to be the leader that God wants you to be in your own house, men. And like I said, this is for everyone. This isn't just for the men. So the rest of you don't, you know, take a nap or anything. You go ahead. You need to listen. You need to engage, because this is for all of us, but specifically for dads. Number one is this. The number one action: lead by taking personal responsibility. Dads, lead by taking personal responsibility. Joshua here says, as for me, and what? My house. This house, my house, we will serve the Lord. As a father, as a leader, he's putting it on himself. It's on us, dads. It's on us to lead our homes. It's on us to be that leader spiritually, that leader financially, that leader that's going to work and to pray and to do the things that God has called us to do. It's our responsibility. When we stand before the Lord someday, yes, God will hold moms accountable for certain things. But when it comes to leadership in the home, it comes down to us, to the men. Hold your finger here. Turn with me to Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Did you catch that, wives? Let me read that again. I didn't hear any amens on that, so let me read it again. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Did you hear that, wives? Okay, I want to be sure about something here. This isn't David West saying this. Y'all understand that? So if you got a gripe, go ahead and take it to God in prayer. Okay? Don't send me emails. I don't want the phone calls, all right? God said, God said, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. As to who? The Lord. As if Jesus were standing right there. I'm going somewhere with this. Keep going. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. See, wives, I wasn't going to let the husbands off the hook, okay? So don't feel like I'm picking on you, because I'm not. There's two sides of that coin, amen? We got to be sure we cover both sides there. Paul is comparing Christ, the groom, and the church, the bride, you with me? To the husband and the bride, the wife. You got that? We've got, just as Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of the wife. All right? That's what Paul says, and that's what God instructed him to write down, and therefore, since God said it, guess what? I believe it. Amen? All right. Now, what does that mean exactly? Well, you know, I've heard this, and I want to go ahead and say this, all right? And I'm not going to make very many people happy whenever I say it, but I'm going to say it anyway, because that's how I am. Well, he might be the head, but I'm the neck, and the neck turns the head. How many ever heard that before? Yeah. How many ever said that before? Don't raise your hands. Let me go ahead and tell you as kindly as I can. That is so unbiblical. But that's how our world thinks. That is an ungodly view. Because what you're saying is this: I have the authority to usurp the authority of my husband. I have the authority to take charge in this marriage because my husband won't do this or won't do that. That's wrong. What you ought to be doing is praying for your husband. What you ought to be doing is looking at what the Word of God says with your husband. God put him as the head of the home. And it's time for us to take personal responsibility for that. I was reading this the other day, and as I was studying for this lesson, and I was having dinner with a brother the other night, one of our church members, and we were having a discussion, and I was sharing this with him, that God was teaching me this, and it never occurred to me. I just kind of told him, God, it was always been filed back here, but all of a sudden the other night it just kind of went to the forefront of my brain. Since Christ is the head of the church, and since the husband is the head of the wife, let me ask you this question before I go any further. Men, have you ever had a falling out with your wives? No. No, we have every single one of us. Wives, have you ever had a falling out with your husband? That was kind of funny right there. The men were kind of, the women were all, amen, yeah. And sometimes one person's right, the other person's wrong. Sometimes this person over here is right and that one's wrong. Sometimes both of you are wrong. We're both just too stubborn to admit it, amen? All right. Something God taught me. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, did they come to God or did God come to them? God came to them. Adam, where are you? And God came and made things right. Yes? Fast forward about several thousand years, when the King of Heaven, the Holy Son of God, left heaven and came down to this filthy, nasty earth. Who came to who to bring redemption? Did we go to God? No, God came to us. This is what God taught me. And again, this may have been filed away, and I just never really thought about it in this light. But whether with me and my wife, she knows when I'm upset. When I'm upset, I shut down. I do. She'll tell you that. I get quiet. My kids will tell you that. I shut down. I don't want to talk. If you ask me a question, I'll answer it. If you say hi, I'll say hi. But other than that, I just shut down. This is what God taught me. David, just as Christ came to this earth, and just as Christ is the head of the church, and you are the head of the family, whether you're right or you're wrong, it doesn't matter. It is your job. You are Christ in that home. Therefore, it is your responsibility to make things right. Why? Because I'm supposed to be Christ in the home. Is that not what Jesus would do? Or would Jesus go, well, you know what, I'm just going to... Is that what Jesus would do? No. What would he do? He'd make it right. Now, we know Jesus would never be wrong, but still the very fact that even if he is holy and he is righteous, he is all that, totally pure, holy, other, but yet he came to the sinner and made things right. And men, that's what it means to take personal responsibility. Doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. It matters that you are the leader in the home and you are Jesus in that home. You are the Christ. You represent Jesus in your house 24/7, 52 weeks a year, 12 months a year, 365 days a year. And no, you may not take off a day during leap year. God desires men to lead. Well, my wife, she doesn't submit to me. She just doesn't do what she's supposed to do. Well, maybe you're not being Jesus enough. Am I right? Because if we loved our wives like Jesus loved the church, guess what our wives are going to do, men? Wives, what will you do? Now, that doesn't mean, wives, that you should not submit. You should submit anyway. But the fact is simply this, men, we are Jesus in our homes to our families. Douglas MacArthur said this. He said, I don't want to be remembered as the great general who led armies and liberated people. I want to be remembered as the Christian father who prayed and read the Bible with his children. You see, he considered himself a greater leader of his family than he did a greater leader of armies. His family was more important. Lead by taking personal responsibility, men. That's what Joshua did. He said, my house, identify my responsibility, my mission, lead my wife, lead my children. He makes the decisions. You be that representative of Jesus. You be that picture of Jesus in your home. Lead by taking personal responsibility. Number two, lead by setting the moral example. Lead by setting the moral example. Back to that verse in Joshua 24. He said, we will serve who? The Lord. We'll serve the Lord. We'll serve the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Perfect One, the one true God, the one in whom there is no error. The very fact that we have this statement here gives us an example of morality because it is an example of perfection. Lead by setting a moral example in your home, men. Do that and say that and be that which is moral and good and right. Follow God, serve God. Make a choice to include or exclude whatever you need to, but be that moral example in your homes. Back in Ephesians chapter number 4, Ephesians 4 verse 22 through 32. Hope you'll write that verse down. What's known as the put on, put off principle. Ephesians 4, 22. That you put off concerning the former conduct of the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting away, therefore, verse 25, lying. Let each one of you speak the truth for his neighbor. See, get away from the lying. Start speaking the truth. Be angry. It's okay to be angry, but don't sin when you're angry. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole, steal no longer. You used to steal, now don't steal. You may say, well, I don't rob banks. Well, sometimes we steal, believe it or not. Sometimes we steal things, maybe from work. Sometimes we might steal somebody's thunder because we want to look good. Sometimes by the things we say or do, we might steal somebody's joy. I think we steal a whole lot more than we give ourselves credit for, you know. But there's this put on and put off principle when it comes to being that moral example in our homes. Guys, get rid of the off-color jokes in your house. Get rid of the crude words. Get rid of the filthy language. Well, it's not cuss words. It doesn't have to be cuss words to be dirty. Amen? Get rid of it. Get rid of the bad habits. Get rid of the drinking, get rid of the smoking, get rid of the chewing, get rid of the complaining, get rid of the gossip, the lying, the cheating, the cutting corners to get what you want. Get rid of the selfishness. And we go on and on and on and on and on. Get that junk out. Set the example. But at the same time, put on that language that builds, that encourages your family and others, that builds up others in the church. Put on honesty in your financial matters. Don't cheat on your taxes. Be honest on your, but I'll have to pay taxes. It don't matter. Jesus had to pay taxes. Amen. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't. But be honest. It's amazing when we're at the, well, this happened to us the other day. It's amazing. You know, when you go out to eat and you get that ticket, right? How many of you really look closely at the ticket? You want to make sure you're getting charged the right thing, right? Okay, I do. Now, if somebody charges us something extra that we didn't get, we're quick to point it out, aren't we? Hey, wait a minute. You charged me, you know, $2.99 for another drink when I didn't get a drink. Or you charged me for this over here. And you, has this ever happened to you? They charge you for an appetizer, but the appetizer never showed up. That's happened to me before, okay? We're real quick to point those things out. But what if it's the other way around? What if they don't charge you for something that you had? Do you let them know? That happened to us the other night. It was a drink. I can't remember where we were, but I just ordered water. Water to drink. Well, about halfway through my meal, my wife, this is my habit. I'll order one drink, and I'll order a sweet tea, and then I'll say, okay, I want a Coke now, or a Coke to a water, or a Coke to a sweet tea, or whatever. But I ordered water, so obviously no charge. But then about halfway through my meal, I was like, man, I'm feeling like a Coca-Cola. So I said, ma'am, could you please bring me a Coke? I would love to have it. So she brought me one, and then we got our ticket, and she didn't put that Coca-Cola on there. Called her over, and she says, is there a problem? I said, no, I just wanted to show you something. You brought me a Coke. I know I initially ordered water, but you brought me a Coke, and I'm just pointing, you didn't charge me for that Coke. Oh, man, you thought it was a catastrophe. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe that. I am so sorry. Thank you for your honesty. She said thank you for your honesty like 5 times. Just kept saying it over and over again. People don't do that. And I said, well, we do. You know, that's what we do. That's who we are. You know, we want to do the right thing here. And in the end, you know what she said? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And I really appreciated that. But you know what? You know that they go back and they check their tickets. And if the tickets don't match up to what they got charged, to what they wrote down and ordered, they're going to get in trouble for it. So what if I had said nothing? She could have gotten in trouble for that. By the way, I did put come to Central Baptist Church, the grace cards, I did put one of those in there and invite her to church. But would that have done any good if I'd been dishonest? No, wouldn't have done a world of good. You see, the put on, put off principle, being that moral standard, men, putting off the things that don't matter and put on the things that do matter. I'll tell you what, one thing that's missing in our world today, I believe, is good, clean, honest, sharp men. Everybody's trying to lie their way to get to what they want. They want to cut corners. They want to hide the truth. They don't want to tell you everything. The less you know, the better off you are. Better to ask forgiveness than permission. Let me tell you something. Ain't none of that that's biblical. Not a lick of it. Grow and become more like Christ. You know, sometimes mentality, we want our folks to come. We want folks to just come to this church. You know, we want you to come as you are. But we don't want you to stay there. Amen? We want you to grow. We want you to improve. We want you to become more Christ-like. We want you to become sharp for Christ. That spirit of excellence that's in there. By the way, dads, don't expect more from your children that you're willing to practice yourself. Be the man. Be the Christian man you want your children to become. Set the moral example. And thirdly and lastly, lead by setting the spiritual tone. He says here, back in Joshua 24, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that the motto in your house? We will serve the Lord. This house serves the Lord. We don't serve our jobs. We don't serve sports. We don't serve our community. We serve the Lord. By the way, if you serve the Lord, you're going to serve all those others very well, all right? But that should be the priority. Sometimes we go out and hand out the cards to doors. By the way, this coming weekend, we're going to be going to the out into the neighborhoods to put out door hangers. Some of those houses, you'll see a plaque up there that'll say, as you'll see Joshua 24:15, won't you? Have you ever seen that before? You might even have it on your house, you know. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Lead by setting the spiritual tone. Be Jesus in the home. Well, think about this. Who was Jesus' family? I mean, other than Mary and his brothers and sisters, who was the family he spent the last 3 years with? Disciples, right? Okay, who was he to the disciples? He was their teacher. He was their discipler. He was their encourager. He was their example whenever they needed to go out, and he showed them how to get things done. He was their servant. He was their healer. He was their initiator. He was their prayer warrior. Jesus set the spiritual tone for his family, the disciples. Men, you are the thermostat of your home. You set the spiritual temperature. If it's a lousy temperature, don't expect more than what you're putting into it. Be that thermostat. You set the spiritual tone. Set it high. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 talks about how if your wife has a question, spiritual question, they ought to go to their husband. You know what, men? One of the ways to set the spiritual tone is you're always prepared to answer spiritual questions from your wife. And it's interesting, verses 34 and 35, it doesn't say go to your pastor, it says go to your husband. Why? Because he should be setting the spiritual tone. He should know the spiritual answers. And by the way, if he doesn't, he's the one who goes to the pastor and asks. Right? You set the spiritual tone. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Husbands likewise dwell with them, speaking of wives, with understanding. In other words, understand them, know them. Brothers, let me tell you, understand them and know them as best you can. You're never going to figure them out. Amen, ladies? No, hey, we're not going to figure you out. But as best we can, understand them and know them as best we can, giving honor to the wife. By the way, what does honor mean? Giving honor to them, what does that mean? It means putting them on a pedestal. Lifting them up above everybody else. Giving them honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together. See, this is what the world doesn't understand. Oh, we just want to put the wives down. No, we don't. We're heirs together. And oh, by the way, I'm here lifting them up because they're so vital and so important. Men, set that spiritual tone in your home. Let your kids know that your wife and their mother is precious. That is loving, that's the most valuable thing other than Jesus in this world that they got. And you put her up there. You set up that spiritual tone, that thermostat for your children. By the way, it's interesting here. And as being heirs together of the life of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Did you catch that? I dare say often our prayers are hindered because of the way we treat our wives. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The old King James, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Set the tone in your house. Set the tone with your children. Let them know that, listen, I am Jesus in this home, and God is going to use me, and I want him to use you, and I'm going to help him, and I'm going to come alongside of you to help you. It ought to be the dad who's waking up and saying, let's go to Faith Builders. Let's go to church. Let's go to Bible study. Let's go to prayer meeting. By the way, dads, do not ask your children if they want to go. Amen? 99.99999999% of the time, what are they going to say? Nope. This is why you're dad and they're not. I am amazed at how a little third or fourth grade little girl who's 60 pounds, whatever, soaking wet, makes the decision to dictate what happens in a house run by a man at 6'4", 240. Well, you know, pastors, my kids, they just won't get out of bed. They would in my house. They would. I probably got too big for my dad to whoop me, but I knew that my dad would come in there and grab the edge of my mattress and dump me over. I said, now, get out of bed, get your shower. Who's running our houses, folks? Who's running our houses? Dads, step up. Set the spiritual tone. Be a man. We don't negotiate. We don't say, all right, who wants to get a bath? All right, who'd like to brush their teeth today? Okay, who would like to empty the dishwasher? All right, who would like to take the clothes out of the dryer and fold them and put them? Well, we don't do that, do we? No, we tell them, go into the dishwasher. But we do that for church. No. Lead by setting the spiritual tone. Lead by setting the spiritual tone. I'll give you a couple of really quick examples of things that we can do, men. If this thing is to work, number one, pursue God yourself. How do I set the spiritual tone in my house? You pursue God first. You pursue God. If you're not pursuing God, how do you expect the rest of them to pursue God? They won't. You pursue God first. You will never be the spiritual leader in the home until you pursue God in your own life first. Number two, attend church faithfully. Let nothing else take the place of being in God's house. Folks, listen. The community, their friends, schools, YouTube, internet, social media, they got them all week long, and they are bombarded. I don't think it's too much to ask for a couple hours on Sunday morning. Amen? That's not. We got to make sure that we are influencing them with the things of God more than the world is influencing them. And trust me, the world don't care. They will influence them any way they can. It doesn't matter how grotesque it looks to us on TV, they'll put it on there. Amen? They will. Attend church faithfully. Don't let anything get in the way of that. Here's what happens. You don't go to church one time, and that turns into two or three. Before you know it, you stop going to church on this particular day or time, and then eventually, and your kids, listen, your kids get this. They get this. And as the generations go along, well, my mom and my dad, they stop going to church here, so I'm not going to do it. And then they start skipping out on let's say it's Wednesday night versus Sunday night. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to stop doing that, but I'll go to Sunday morning. And then they stop missing Sunday morning here and there. Before you know it, as you go through the generations, I guarantee you, eventually they will be out of church. This is why you don't let anything get in the way of church. Attend church faithfully. And let your kids know, today's the time to be in the house of God. We're going to the house of God. Amen? It's either amen or oh me. One of the two. There is no middle ground. Read God's word with your children. They watch a ton of TV. They're hours on the internet, on social media. Take some time to be in God's word with them. Let them see you in Sunday morning devotions. Do your children ever see you praying? Sometimes mine do. Usually they're not up early enough. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Pray for them. Pray in front of them. Pray with them. Pray with them before you leave for work. Pray for them at mealtime. Pray with them before you go to bed. Now listen, I'll be the first to admit, I failed at many of these things. I was hit hard a couple days ago. Evan was, he's in North Carolina, most of you know, and he said this to me. He said he was having a conversation with the guys in his discipleship group. And they were talking about their dads. And he said, Dad, one of the things I told them about you was one of the things I really appreciated about my dad is he never missed a ball game. And I didn't. Home or away, I was there. He played basketball, he played baseball, he played football. He played all these sports, and I was always there. As far as I know, I did not miss any of my children's games. And I'm kind of proud of that. All right. But then it hit me. He didn't say, my dad was a man of prayer. He didn't say, I constantly saw my dad in the Word of God. Now, he's seen me in God's Word, but that's not what stuck with him. That was like a dagger. And I'm glad I got to go to all those games. But you want to know something? What will those games matter in eternity? You can say it. What will they matter in eternity? Nothing. And God pointed that out to me. So I'm here to tell you, I've messed up too. I've missed opportunities. Pray for them. Pray with them. Pray in front of them. Pray before you leave for work if you have a chance, if they're up early enough. Pray at mealtimes together. Pray before bedtime. Take them with you to do ministry. Listen, one of the things that's really harming the church today is there's so much out there that's just drawing our children. It doesn't matter whether it's athletics or fine arts or clubs or theme parks or whatever. There's so much that's taking away our family time. Let me give you a hint on family time. You can do the work of God and spend time with your family. Amen? Okay, I got one yacht on that. You can. And that kind of time matters because you're impacting eternity. You're teaching your children. I realize that there are times where we just have a short period of time with our kids, and Sundays are busy, and we work all week, and all we got is Saturday and all that. But unless I'm mistaken here at Central Baptist Church, we have yet to take an entire day with your entire family and take you away from time with your family. We haven't done that. Usually it's an hour or two. But take them with you to do ministry. Take them with you to do ministry. That's family time. What greater way to teach your children ministry than to do ministry together with them? Dads, take your sons to men's meetings. Ladies, take your daughters. Dads, take your sons to prayer time so they can hear men pray. Go over their faith builders lesson that they had this morning with them. Talk about the Sunday's message. Talk about the songs. But take them with you and do ministry with them. I close with this story. One day a man was standing at his window in a two-story house, and his son and his buddies were out in the backyard, and they were having one of those discussions. My dad is better than your dad, right? You ever had one of those? My dad's bigger than your dad, and my dad's faster than your dad. My dad could whoop your dad, that kind of thing. And the one boy said, oh yeah, well my dad, he knows the mayor of the city. And one of his buddies spoke up, and he said, yeah, well my dad knows the governor. And the guy's just listening. He's upstairs. He's listening to this conversation. There he hears his son's voice. And his son says this. He says, man, that ain't nothing. My dad knows God. That father just went to his knees and said, God, may I always be a dad that knows God. Men, that's where we ought to be. Lead in your homes. Wives, moms, they need your support and prayer and help. It's not easy being a dad. And I know it's not easy being a mom either. But as the head of the home, we have a little bit more responsibility that's on us. And we need you. And if your kids are grown and everything and they're gone, hopefully you're going to have opportunities as grandparents. You still have opportunities as parents to talk to your children, pray with them over the phone, to send them scripture via text or email or social media or whatever. You still have opportunities to impact. Lead your families, dads. That's your role. Let us pray. Father, first of all, Lord, forgive us where we failed you. I know we say that all the time, but we fail you all the time. And Lord, we're so thankful for our dads. And Lord, I thank you for my dad. And Lord, I know you're omnipresent. So when you see my dad today, could you tell him I said hi? Tell him that I love him and I miss him. And tell him I'll see you soon. Heavenly Father, we need real fathers. Fathers who will love their families like Jesus loved the church. We are Jesus in our home, God. And we are to lead our families as Jesus led his disciples. And he led his disciples with love. He led his disciples with sacrifice. He led his disciples by giving the ultimate gift of salvation. Now, we're not God, Lord, but we still ought to be Jesus in our homes. Convict us of being exactly that. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, during this invitation time. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you know, all this being a dad, a spiritual dad, a dad is fulfilling his role like God wants him to. If you're going to be Jesus in your home, you first got to know Jesus. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you had a time in your life where you've said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. He is your only way to heaven. There is no other. If you put your faith and trust in him, you can do that right now. Just call out to him right now. Say, dear God, I know that you are holy, and I know that I'm not. And I know there's no other way for me to get to heaven except through you and your son. So God, as best I know how, I believe on Jesus. I believe that he's the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins on the cross. I believe that he rose from the dead so that I would receive new life in Christ. So Father, please come into my life and save me. I repent of my sins. I turn from my sin and myself, and I turn to you. Please save me. If you'll pray that, and you mean it with all your heart, he'll save you. How's it going, dads? Are we leading as we should? Father, bless this invitation time, we pray. In Jesus' name.